Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let's move to another sticky situation in Dallas, Rob. And Luka Doncic, Donnie Nelson, and man, Donnie, gosh. I mean, Donnie was running the Mavericks when I first entered the league. I mean, he is a staple in Dallas and was with the organization. And now he was fired, essentially, as the president. And Rick Carlisle steps away, a very good coach. You know that. He was in Detroit.
And yeah, he was there 13 years, though. That's a long time. So
But from what I'm told, and obviously all the reports are saying so as well, it was him and Luka. Luka did not get along with Rick. There's been reports now that he mocked Rick, that you're not really in control. This guy, Bob Vulgaris, who's a gambler, former gambler, who now is a lot of people feel like the reports are that he's running the show basketball-wise in Dallas, and Luka's got some issues with him, and that's why he, you know, isn't that happy with the organization, although, you know, he's taking that money. And I don't blame him, $200 million over 5 years.
If he didn't take that, he would be machine.
Yeah, take the money.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you got to leave later.
You can force your way out.
But get your money,
Chris,
right.
We see it all the time now.
Absolutely. But I think he'll give them a chance. But here, I'm going to say two things. One, I can't be mad at Luka for wondering what in the heck is going on with this dude, Bob Vulgaris, running things all of a sudden basketball-wise. Now, Vulgaris was hired as an analytics guy, quantitative director of analytics or something, director of quantitative analytics. All right. And the stories, the reports are that he has somehow become a favorite of Mark Cuban. And not only, you know, is he kind of the final say in personnel decisions, but he's also has some say in basketball strategy and things like that. And so if I'm Luka, I'm like, yo, what are we doing? What makes this dude a basketball expert? That my future's in his hands? So I get that. But here's the other thing, Rob, I think is interesting. Luka is phenomenal. You know I love him. I've called him Luka Legend. I've called him the new age version of Larry Bird, all that.
I've called him Luka first round, but go ahead. That's another story.
Yeah, I mean, at 22, that's all good. LeBron wasn't even making the playoffs.
Yeah, but he's been a professional for 7 years.
It don't matter. It wasn't a professional in America. They ain't balling like in Europe like they are over here, the pros. So he I got to give him credit. But the one thing that makes me – I just got concerns about – is and similar to LeBron, one of the advantages I give Michael Jordan over LeBron James is that Jordan did not have to become the system. Jordan fit into the triangle system, and they won championships. And LeBron has always become the system. And it can be tough for other superstars. Kyrie, that's part of the reason he was disgruntled in Cleveland, because he wants to handle the ball, and, you know, it's just everything revolved around LeBron. D-Wade, that's why he and D-Wade couldn't mesh at first, because it was like D-Wade was used to having the ball, so I got to step back. And D-Wade did step back, Rob, and said, look, I'm going to back up and let LeBron be the system, and I'll fit in, and they were able to win 2 championships. But I just think it makes it difficult. Chris Bosh became a glorified role player. Kevin Love became a glorified role player. And you look, when guys aren't that ball dominant and don't become the system, you can have 3 stars shine. Rob, in Brooklyn, when they're healthy, right? Now, Harden was ball dominant in Houston, and they didn't win a championship. They were good, but they didn't win a championship. But in Brooklyn, he's not ball dominant. KD is not ball dominant. And Kyrie can fit into a system. So they're all able to eat, and that makes them a better team. In Golden State, Klay, Steph, KD, they all can eat. Every one of them could do their own thing and get 20-plus points a night. And we saw the same thing in Brooklyn. And my concern is that Luka is so ball dominant. And I love him, but he's so ball dominant, and he creates everything. He creates his points. He creates everybody else's points. That if you get another stud who can go, then he might get frustrated playing with Luka. And so Luka's only 22. I think there's time to get him to learn how to play in a system. Because if he gets too used to playing this way and he's got to do it all, it may be challenging for them to win championships. Now, the benefit is when you got a guy that's that good, he's going to make your team really good. And you can just give him some role players and some spot-up shooters and some defenders that do the dirty work, and he's going to create everything for them because they can't create on their own, and they're going to be really good. But it's going to be tough for them to win championships. And we've seen that with LeBron. And so that's my only concern. I just think that's something Dallas is going to have to figure out, and the new coach is going to have to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, I could see where you would wonder about, like, the guy because of his background. But, you know, you could – even as Luka, my biggest issue is nobody – it's a crapshoot, Chris. Nobody really knows. There have been guys who have played in the NBA, right, who have been terrible executives. There are guys who have never played in the NBA who have done really well at putting players together or whatever. So there's no clear cut. Michael Jordan was the greatest player ever. Terrible executive. I mean, plain and simple.
Well, he did draft LaMelo Ball.
All right, whatever. Other than that, is that what you want to give him credit for after 20 years?
I'm just saying, what have you done for me lately?
But you see my point.
Nah, I know.
Is that you just don't know. So I get where Luka could have a question mark about the guy, Chris, so I'm not questioning that given his background. But I don't know. Okay, so you follow Luka's lead and he says, hey, go get Joe Blow, who's this guy or whatever. Then that doesn't work out. Now what? I don't know. I don't know how you put that into play. Somebody ultimately has to be responsible. You know, are you holding the player responsible if it doesn't work out? No, you don't, because his ultimate job is playing. So it's a delicate thing. I don't have an issue with having input, but I can't have players making decisions when they are not accountable for those when they don't work out. That's the way I would run it, either as an owner or as a general manager, because ultimately it's going to be my behind, Chris, if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, it's interesting, Rob, because you can point to various examples on both sides. Jerry Krause, we've talked about it, who was a pretty good GM. I mean, obviously he had Michael Jordan, but he was a Chicago White Sox scout when he was hired as GM of the Bulls. And then there's times where the players kind of run things, LeBron in Cleveland, and they get a championship. First time in 52 years. Magic got Paul Westhead fired, him or me. And Pat Riley comes in and the rest is history. You know, so it's worked both ways. But it's just, you know, it's a tough situation when you have to go through it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest is a former NBA head coach, has won championships with the Miami Heat, David Fizdale. Fizz, welcome
What's
to the
happening?
Odd Couple.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nah, it's great to have you on, man. We look forward to hearing your knowledge. Let's start with the game that's about to begin. Philadelphia and Atlanta. If you were coaching Ben Simmons, we all know the struggles he's going with at the foul line, and now he won't even take shots. How would you handle that situation? I kind of both psychologically with him and just on the court.
I would try to constantly put him in positions that he is feeling comfortable right now, and stay away from talking about what everyone else is talking about. Obviously, he has to put in that time, get in the gym, and shoot, especially free throws. You know, right now you're not going to get a jump shot.
Right.
But you can make a few free throws with just a little bit of confidence and some rhythm. And so I would just, you know, just really, you know, stay away from the conversation of you got to shoot this, you have to do that. Hey, keep defending, push the ball, attack the rim, post your mismatches, get other people great shots. You know, I would keep harping on those type of things.
Would you take him out quickly, Rob? Would you take him out if they go to the hack of Ben?
Not right away, I wouldn't. No. You got to give him a chance to make a couple, miss a couple. You know, obviously, if it starts to turn into something that spirals, you know, you got to stop the bleed. But, you know, if you want to show him confidence, you have to leave him out there, especially during the game. I just think that you have to do it. Now, you know, as you get towards crunch time, if you got to manage that, you know, Doc will figure that out.
If they do lose, whether it's tonight or the series, is it time for a divorce? Maybe that they just don't fit together right, or there's some issue here, or are people just blowing this out of proportion? Which way would you look at it if they do lose the series to Atlanta?
Well, yeah, I think it might be time to start looking at breaking them up because Brett Brown's a hell of a coach. That's just plain and simple. You know, you talk to any coach that's coached against Brett Brown, and they will tell you he's a hell of a coach. And so the fact that he is not the head coach of the Sixers right now, basically due to that relationship between Ben and B, you know, and now you go and get a future Hall of Famer in Doc Rivers, a championship coach who comes in there. And really, they put together a heck of a regular season. But now you're facing elimination, and if you get eliminated by a fifth seed, they do have to start looking at some particular options. And they may not see anything they like this offseason that is worth breaking them up for, but I do think they may have to explore that. But we got a lot of basketball left to play.
Well, because you're right, Fizz. I mean, it looks like the same thing that happened under Brett Brown. And as you talked about Brett, I mean, his reputation kind of outside of the coaching ranks is that it was Brett Brown's fault. But
right.
Now you're seeing that you got another coach, championship coach in there, and the same thing is happening. Let's go to the other game tonight. Clippers-Jazz. I think myself and many people wrote off the Clippers when Kawhi Leonard went down. What do you expect to see tonight? You think the Clippers close this out? Or you think Utah rallies and, you know, Clippers under man is just too much?
You know what? I think the Clippers close them out. I think, you know, the one thing that I'm seeing is that the Clippers' defense is really, really playing at a high, high level. And you put that together with the amount of shooting that they're putting on the floor and the fact that Paul George, can I cuss on you guys?
Right.
and he is just playing now. And it's like right from the tip, you're seeing Paul George get into attack mode. And I just think they put so much speed on the floor, so much toughness. Man, I mean, this will say a lot about the Jazz and if they're real. If they can get that game back to a game seven. But, boy, do they got to go through some pit bulls to do it. And you know, we don't say this enough about another championship coach, Tyronn Lue. Man, is he coaching his butt off.
We agree on that.
Phenomenal job.
Yes.
Yep. I agree.
He has made
absolutely
so many moves. And Fizz, I looked at that Clippers when they were down 0-2 to Dallas, and you probably remember this. They were down 30-11 in Game 3. Their season, what we knew, you know, could have all been upended had they gotten buried in that game and probably lost in the first round. They rallied from that. They were down 0-2 in this series. There's something different. You know, this doesn't feel like the same team from a year ago. I have confidence like you that they close this out. Does it feel different, this team, from last year?
Well, you know, I think sometimes, you know, because that saying that I think sometimes could easily say, well, it's Doc, right? But I think the suffering that you go through and the pain that you go through makes you a better basketball team, right? And so I think the change of with God, how good is Lou Williams, but how good has Reggie Jackson been?
Yep.
Right? How good has Man been? Because that freed up that space for him to play now at that two-guard position. Patrick Beverley being Patrick Beverley. Morris, come on. My man Mook Morris, if he isn't just in cruise control playing the 3 through 5 and giving them all kind of great minutes, you know, they just look like a team that's really in sync. And I think, you know, one, you suffer, but two, I think T. Lou has put his touch on the group. And we just got to give the man credit. He's a championship coach, and he is coaching his ass off. Adjustments all over the place. Zone the man, the trap. I mean, he is, and he's inspiring Paul George. There is Paul George said in the interview that he was frustrated with Doc Rivers. Well, I think you also have to credit T. Lou for getting what he's getting out of Paul George.
No, good point. We got about 30 seconds, but we can't let you go without asking you this. Who you like in the Milwaukee-Brooklyn Game 7?
I like Milwaukee. I know I'm probably in the minority on this one, but, you know, and KD can do it again. Don't get me wrong. The dude can go out and drop another 50-ball triple-double, no doubt about it, and can win the game. But I just felt like the Milwaukee roster is healthy. They're physical. They're tough-minded. They have suffered a lot. And it would just – I just think, you know, with those other two guys just not at full health, and there's just no way they can be at full health with a hamstring and with that ankle that Kyrie suffered – you know, if I'm Milwaukee, I'm putting Drew Holiday in overdrive and really getting him ignited, because Middleton is rolling now. You know what you're getting out of Giannis. If they can get Drew Holiday going full throttle, 94 feet both ways, defensively and offensively, I think Milwaukee can close it. I think they can win the series.
Milwaukee hasn't shot the ball well. It'll be interesting to see how they shoot in Brooklyn.
Yes, it will.
Great stuff. That's Coach Dave Fizdale. Fizz, man, we appreciate it, brother.
Anytime, my friend.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Bo Schembech, the Rob, he's more than a legend. The football facility, I've been there. My daughter went to Michigan. I went to the football facility. It's called Schembechler Hall, isn't it, Rob?
Yep.
They got a statue of him out on the in front of it. It's like this beautiful museum/football facility. I think it's the locker rooms, everything, whatever. So anyway, his stepson or adopted son, who grew Bo adopted when the kid was like 5, he came out and accused the longtime Michigan team doctor of sexually harassing and abusing him when he was a child.
Yep, he was 10 years old getting a physical.
Right. And according to reports, well, this is out, 850 people have followed suit.
Yep.
There are 850 people in total alleging that this doctor sexually harassed them or abused them, sexually molested them during physicals and other things.
There's one player, Chris, who said it happened to him 45 times. That's how many times the doctor touched him.
45 times.
In 3 years at Michigan.
The son said that he told Bo about it the first time it happened when he was 10 years old. And that Bo was got mad at the son. And the mother, Bo's wife, was upset with Bo and went to the athletic director. The athletic director was going to fire the doctor,
Robert Anderson, fired him.
And Bo Schembechler got him reinstated as the team physician. And now today, the news today is that more than 100 former members of Schembechler's Michigan football teams signed a letter this week defending his reputation and defending him against the allegations are this. He obviously did not molest anybody, but the allegations are that he knew that not only had his adopted son been molested by this doctor, but that several players, I mean, it's 850. So several people and players had also been abused by this doctor, and he did nothing. He kept him on his staff. And these players are coming out today with a letter defending Bo Schembechler. Rob, go ahead.
I have a hard time with it. I really do. Chris, if you want to put out a statement about Bo Schembechler and who he is and, you know, to you or whatever, that's fine. But this whole idea, this is why molesters and people get away with this stuff, because people try to shame the victims and make them feel like something's wrong with them. And the undertone of the whole thing is, it's just a money grab. It didn't happen. It didn't happen to me, so I don't know how it happened to you. And they just don't know. I really feel bad for people to go out there when over 800 people, and Chris, what we've learned about abusers like this, child molesters and abusers, is the only way they stop is when they get caught. That's why we hold the people who find out about it, you know, they're almost as bad as the actual guy. Almost. From the standpoint of, had Bo fired that guy, he could have saved a lot of other kids from experiencing the trauma that they have probably gone through, right? I mean, that's why you can't do this and turn the other way. Joe Paterno, one of his coaches came in and said, they hear Sandusky having sex with a boy in the shower. He never called the police. He never questioned Sandusky. How, Chris? So this whole notion that because it didn't happen to you, it's not possible that it happened, is false. And they have no more evidence than the people who are making the claim. I get it. Bo's dead. That doesn't mean your legacy's sealed, Chris. What have we done in this country with the Confederate generals and whatnot?
Right.
Right? Oh, you Good can't point. Take their Good statues because that happened years ago and they're dead now and they can't stand up for themselves. Hell, we can.
No, you're right. You're right, Rob. I agree with you. And first of all, and you know this, look, victim shaming is shameful.
It is.
Especially when you don't know. Now, if you know the so-called victim is lying or that it's not true, that's one thing. They should be shamed if they're making up a story. But when you don't
know,
if
they should go to jail if you find out that they're lying.
This would be, that'd be terrible, to besmirch somebody's reputation falsely. But when you don't know, you know how hard it is for someone to come out when they've been abused.
Chris, these are grown men who are 60-some-odd years now.
Especially men. And it's tough for women, too. Because women, they not believed a lot of times and all that. And for men, it's more of a macho thing, right? These are football players. Do you want to admit? You think a man wants to admit that he was sexually abused? If a dude went to jail and got raped in jail, you think he's coming out telling everybody?
No. That's the last thing he would
tell
anybody.
He's taking that to his grave. You know what I'm saying? And so it is for men to come out, football players, to say this, that you got to respect that and you got to at least be like, hey, it could be true. And here's what if you played for Bo Schembechler, maybe worked with Bo Schembechler, had a great relationship with him, nothing but respect for him. You can come out and say, I'm not going to get mad at you if you come out and say, look, I played 4 years for Bo Schembechler. I have nothing but love for the man. I have nothing but respect for him. I think he's a great coach and human being. I never saw anything of the sort. And I personally, I would be shocked if he knew something like this was going on and did nothing about it. If you say that, I'm fine. But you can't go but so far, right? Once you go to, there's no way.
Right.
That Bo Schembechler would have heard something like that and let it go. You've crossed the line.
Because you don't know that.
Because you just don't know. And Rob, there are people whose spouses, they don't know what their spouses are doing.
And they sleep next to them every day.
They sleep with them in the bed every night. They see them every day. They go to church or whatever with them every weekend. They talk with them every day. They live with them, and they don't know.
I know.
That the person might be cheating or living a double life or
doing something terrible, Chris.
Yes.
100%. And that's the part where people got to be very careful. Because you don't know. You really don't. And am I saying all 800 are not lying, Chris? I don't know. But that's a big number to act as if nothing happened. And we saw at Michigan State, you remember Dr. Nasser?
Larry Nasser, yep.
Larry Nasser, who molested all the gymnasts and the Olympic team, Chris, left and right. This is not some, oh, my God, I never heard this before. This has been going on.
Right.
This ain't out of left field.
Yeah, you're right. And
it happened at Ohio State, too. Didn't they have an issue there with a doctor? Yes.
It's just like the point we're making is you don't know. You can support. I'm going to say this, Rob. I would not have signed it. If I had known Bo and whatever, it depends on how far it's going. Would I sign or maybe – I probably wouldn't even sign anything. I would, if I'm asked, right? I'll say, look, I had no issues with Bo. I saw was good stuff, whatever. But I would not sign anything. And I've been in positions where people have asked me to sign something that I may agree with. But I've been like, look, I can't be associated with this.
Right.
You know, if I'm a public figure, I can't be associated with this. I don't want to put my name on this, even though I may agree – I don't agree with everything y'all about. Whatever. It's possible that you did. You know what I mean? That this goes the wrong way, and I can't be a part of that.
No.
And even people I know and like, you know? And so I don't care what your relationship with Bo was. I don't see how you can sign something saying he'd never do this because you don't know.
You don't know that. You don't know it. And, yes, think about this. People do some stuff, Chris, when they're – when their whole reputation and what they've built could come crumbling down? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you might do stuff. That's why. Everybody, for all the people who are sitting there, who would have told you, Chris, I always get the number wrong, that Bill Cosby would be in jail for drugging 60 women? Tell me you thought that was the case. America's dad? The Jell-O pudding guy? The clean comedian, Chris? Seriously. His wife, Camille, we know all about her.
Philanthropist.
So don't tell me, he gave Spelman College $10 million.
Very few people had a better reputation than
Bill Cosby.
You're right. Here's how good his reputation was, Rob. He was America's dad. As a black man.
No doubt about it. He had the number one TV show for 8 or 10 years. It was as big as you could get on television. Everybody loved Bill Cosby. When we were kids, Chris, the Cosby kids. And now he's sitting in jail.
Fat Albert. Yep.
Yes.
No, and he berated other comedians for being dirty. Or at least criticized them.
Yes.
You know, his comedy was clean and all that.